Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fisherman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at Grace Chapel. Let us praise and worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Dear Lord, we come before you and we just thank you that we have this opportunity to join together and to fellowship, that we can hear the words that you would have for us today, that you would bless us by opening our understanding and opening our eyes and letting us receive the message that you have for us today. And we thank you, Lord, for just being there for us, for standing with us, for guiding us. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.
He's my rock, he's my voice.
Today is the Lord's Day. Every day is the Lord's Day. And this morning, when I realized it was September 11th, I remembered that day, and I remember where I was and what I was doing. I'd just gotten off work from Circle K. Third shift. And I came home and I was watching, I think it was Good Morning America or one of the morning TV shows. And they announced, ooh, something just happened at the World Trade Center. There's been an explosion. And they turned their camera, which looked right out the window, toward the World Trade Center. And I saw and watched as that second plane flew into the second tower. And watch the second explosion. In that instant, I knew what had happened. Because it was one of the scenarios and things that we had talked about in terrorist briefings while we were in the military. I knew exactly what it was. The outcome of all that was suddenly little over 3,000 people were standing before the Lord. Possibly some Christians, some believers, some atheists, some Jews, possibly even some Muslims. Doesn't matter what country they were from. It was the political sect
that they belong to. Suddenly, and all at once, we're before the Lord. Doesn't matter if they knew him beforehand or not. In that instant, they knew him. Imagine that for a minute. Imagine for a minute the terror that some of those people felt, that suddenly something they did not believe in and was the furthest thing from their minds, they are standing before. That's a rough thought. That's a scary thought. Imagine people who didn't ever hear the word standing before him. We know if they've never heard the word that he's not going to condemn them. But those who did not believe in him, which were condemned already, just found out the truth that they thought everybody else had been lying to them or lied to. Imagine that terror. Yeah, I felt pretty terrorized that day when I saw that plane went in there, but I cannot imagine the terror of someone who does not believe or did not believe in Jesus Christ to be suddenly and instantly standing before him. Bible tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. It's not the fear of the devil. It's a healthy fear. It's a fear of not knowing whether you'll be worthy enough, that you'll have can't put it into words, that you'll have the right knowledge, that you'll have the right information, that you'll have it right, that you have done things to the best of your ability.
Faith.
To have the faith. So that on that day, Jesus looks at you and says, "Welcome in, good and faithful servant." Are you ready? Do you think you've got it all together, that it is perfect, that you're all set, that nothing can go wrong? You can just cruise along in life now and not do a thing and you're fine. That's what you think. Then you're not working out your salvation with fear and trembling. There are some days when I think, okay. And as soon as I do that, that same line comes back to my mind. Am I ready? Am I anxious? Do I want to meet Jesus? Do I want to stand with Jesus? Do I want to be with Jesus? Yes, I do. The whole thing is, I want to be able to stay with Jesus. I don't want to be one he looks at and says, "Get thee away from me, ye worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." I want to be the one, and I hope you want to be the one, and I hope everybody who hears this wants to be the one who hears, "Enter in, good and faithful servant." Because anything less than that is death. To be put into the lake of fire for eternity. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light. And no one can come to the Father except through Him. Jesus loves us. Jesus has given us the way. And I don't think any more, other than a newborn baby, can sit there and stand before Jesus and say that they have not heard the word. It's possible somewhere on this earth there may be one person who's living in a cave somewhere who's never heard it. But I doubt it. The King James Version of the Bible has been translated into every known language. There are ministers in all parts of the world, in every country, whether it's allowed or whether it's not. There are countries where it's still illegal. But there are ministers there every day risking their lives, risking imprisonment to put out the word of God. My prayer is that they're putting out the gospel to everyone they come across, the same as we're supposed to do as we go out through the world. The Lord doesn't want any of us to fail. He loves you. I have to say, I hope He loves me. My hope is that everyone, when they go to meet Jesus, will be allowed to enter in, that will have learned and understand what believing in Jesus and believing on Jesus is, and that they can go to heaven and stay in heaven. That's my wish. But again, it goes back to working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We know there's lots of churches out there where everybody in the church thinks they got it. We've even had people in this ministry who thought they had it. And then all of a sudden there was this light bulb moment that was like, uh-oh. I had one. Had one the first time that I met with Davey. We sat up there on top of the hill in his Lance camper for about 3 or 4 hours. And when I left, I didn't know what I knew. It was 3 or 4 months before I came back. Because I think I read the Bible 2 more times again from cover to cover. And I realized that I had been given an opportunity, that I had been given the absolute truth if I wanted it. I want it. I want it with everything that I am. Because without Jesus' grace and mercy and peace, I may have never found it. It was those things to me that brought me in contact with Richard. After I had been basically fumbling and bumbling on my own for years in various churches all over the place. All I can say is thank God. Thank you, Jesus. If you hear this, you can have this too. Jesus is there all the time, anytime. All you have to do is ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart, and He'll be faithful to do so. Amen.
Morning, everyone. I really thought I knew what I was supposed to speak on today, but I think that's changed. And I did realize this morning this was the 15th anniversary of 9/11. And as Bob said, I think every one of us know exactly where we were when we heard about it, and how many of us were glued to the TV and watched that second plane come into the tower. And it was like, we had felt a safety in this country, and all of a sudden that security was gone. But what hits me is, and Davey and I talked about this after, in that those men that took over those planes, and they're yelling to Allah as they crash, calling on him, thinking they're going to be in his presence and be awarded 72 virgins. Can you imagine their terror when they all of a sudden appear before Jesus? That just sent chills down my back when I thought of that. And how many of the others on those planes or in those buildings had ridiculed or denied or made fun of Jesus, and all of a sudden they were standing before him. The terror they must have felt at that time. And when I go to stand before him, I really pray that I can stand there and loving him and know that he's going to say, as Bob said, you know, come in, you good and faithful servant. But another thing that hit me after 9/11 was all the people that flocked to the churches. Everybody was praying. Everybody was saying, God bless America. Where are they now? I heard ministers all over the country saying, we're having a great revival. Everybody's coming back to the Lord. This terror caused everybody to turn to Jesus. Unfortunately, they didn't turn to Jesus. They went back to the churches, which weren't preaching Jesus, not the Jesus in the Bible. There was no revival. That lasted for a few weeks. And you can see from the condition of our country that there was nothing lasting there. There was nothing real there when they all went running to the churches to pray for everybody. I mean, we've had Supreme Court rule that homosexual marriage is a constitutional right. We have more abortions going on every single day. Where's Jesus in that? You got people just excited about transvestites being able to use the bathroom of their choice, no matter what their DNA is. And I'm sorry, you can go around and saying you're a woman, but if your DNA says you're a man, you're a man. That doesn't change. But our country had an opportunity to turn to Jesus after 9/11. It could have been a great revival all over this country, which could have reached out to the world. And it came to naught. People weren't there to get their lives right with Jesus. I think they were there, well, for the solidarity, to be able to have someone else feeling the same terror, the same insecurity that they felt. But they weren't there for Jesus. They weren't there because they wanted to know him. They weren't there because they wanted to get closer to him. And this country lost a great opportunity to have a great revival that would have reached out through the whole world. And I don't see anything changing. We have solo terrorists going around hacking up people here in this country right now, or shooting them or whatever, because of they don't go along with the Muslim doctrines, Islam. And people are saying they're not looking at what is causing it. They want to look at what was used. Okay, it was the guns. No, it wasn't the guns. It was this false religion that people are following, and they are more involved in that than most Christians are in their faith. It's sad to think that these other religions out there are out there getting all kinds of newcomers, all kinds of converts. Every day they're very vocal in what they believe. They're very vocal in going out there trying to share their religion with people, and people are converting to those religions. You don't see that with Christians today. Christians aren't out there sharing the gospel. They're not out there trying to show people Jesus. We should be ashamed. We should be out there sharing the Lord with people and seeing the fruits, but we're not. And it's not just this ministry, it's all Christians around the world. And I'm talking about true Christians, not the pew warmers that are sitting in the church on Sunday, and sometimes they even go on Wednesday. They don't know Jesus. They know church. And we, as the body of Christ, we are the church. We're not a building. But unfortunately, the people out there think church is the building. They don't think they're the body. They think they're the bride. And they're not out there sharing Jesus. They go about their lives. And it's, yeah, I want to cry. Jesus died for every single one of them. Every single one of us. All we have to do is accept his death on the cross, to accept the forgiveness of sins that came from that, accept his raising from the dead, that we may have eternal life. It's not that hard. But our job is to show people Jesus. And as Davy has said many times, preach the gospel and sometimes use words. Our actions show whether we're a believer or not. And it's all Christians, true Christians out there, it's your actions that show Jesus, not just your words. And we're failing. And we can see it every day in this country, but we can see it all over the world. I read the news. I read both conservative news sites and also liberal news sites. I get both sides. And it is this whole world. We're coming close to the end because people are not turning to the Lord. If a revival started, if enough Christians got out there and were adamant, excited to share the gospel like the Islams are, the Islamics are, then sharing their gospel, we could see a revival and we could be more salty and we could hold back the end times. But unfortunately, I don't see that happening. I pray that it does. I'd like to see more people have more opportunity, have time to have the opportunity to accept him, accept the Lord, accept Jesus. But we're not doing our job. And as Christians all over the world, none of us are doing our job. And so it doesn't matter, like after 9/11, that everyone flocked to the churches. I didn't see a great revival from that. All I saw was church memberships growing. We have a job to do, And I pray that there's not another large terrorist incident like 9/11. And an incident's a very kind of wimpy word for that. But I pray it doesn't take something like that again, that maybe people would come to the Lord. We have our job to do, and I pray there's not another terrorist attack. But if that's what it takes to bring people to the Lord, then that's what will happen. So we need to pray and be prepared anytime we meet someone to be able to share the gospel. We need to pray and ask the Lord what actions we can be taking that show people Jesus. We have to be ready. We have to be in season and out of, be ready in season and out of season. Doesn't matter whether we feel like it or not, we have to be ready to share him, to show people him in our walk. And it shouldn't have to take a terror attack for that to happen.
You know, Ann.
Yes, sir.
You said people don't go to church for Jesus.
Right.
And I have noticed most people go to church for the church.
Yeah. Right.
They base their salvation on the denomination.
That's right.
And not on the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, you're definitely right on that.
A true Christian can find Christ anywhere, in any building,
that's
whatever
right.
The name may be. And that's the place where we need to bring people's eyes back on. It's about Jesus, not about church.
That's
it's
right.
About Jesus.
That's right. And like you said, that they find Jesus in any building or whatever, but they could even find Jesus in that cave that Bob was talking about.
That's right.
Because God reveals himself even in nature. I mean, you look out there at the different things like the butterfly. That shows Jesus' resurrection, his death and resurrection. The plants that grow out here, how do they grow? It's God. So he shows himself, reveals himself in nature. If you really want to know who Jesus is, God will make a way for you to know it using anything he has to.
Amen.
Well, good morning, everyone. Just as Bob and Ann had this 9/11 thing going through my mind, or their mind, it, you know, occurred to me it is the 15th anniversary of it. And I've been praying about it, and I'd like to go to Deuteronomy 31. I'm going to start at verse 16 and go through 18. Now, to put this in perspective, this is one of the many times this is at the end of Moses' life, and he's giving commandment or instruction unto the elders and the people of Israel. And if you look at Moses' ministry, he's constantly doing this. But this is right before he is ready to be taken up. And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go whoring after the gods of strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them. And I will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. I'm going to stop there for a second. When you look at God, he made a covenant with Abraham. Okay, this is what he's talking about. He made a covenant with Abraham that if you walk in my ways and your children after you, I will be with you. Now, when we look at our country, our forefathers made a covenant with God. Okay? God made a covenant with Abraham. Our forefathers made a covenant with God, with Jesus Christ, to walk in his ways. And when we look at our nation was founded upon the Word of God. Our nation was founded upon the King James Bible. And everything that was established upon that word and upon faith upon him to walk in his ways. 17, then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them. So that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? So here we have Moses warning the people of Israel, warning the elders of Israel, that these evils are going to come upon them. Now, when I look at this 9/11 thing, like Ann said, you know, there's the flocking of the people to the church. But the people, when they flocked to the church, did not look at it because it was because of their sin or their rejection of God that these evils came upon them. You know, when I look at 9/11, I clearly see that came upon us because of our rejection of the covenant that our fathers had made with God. And the people, and I include myself, okay, repentance and change of heart starts with me. If I can't make that repentance and that change of heart, how can I expect others to make that change? You know, like I read last week, in Second Chronicles 7:14. That repentance and that change starts in me. You know, have I broken the covenant with my God? Have I turned from my God? Have I put my eyes to anything other than the Lord? And when I look at myself, to be honest, I have. I have had other things pop up in my life that I've decided to chase and go after. I look at it as it's my fault because I am a Christian who calls myself by his name, and yet I'm not salty enough to hold back that corruption. You know, if we're not willing to do it, or if I'm not willing to do it, who is? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. It's interesting when you look at what Ann said. You know, after these terrorist attacks of 9/11, in fact, after all these major terrorist attacks that we've seen all over the world, the thing that's always interested me, the always thing that always stands out to me, is that during the televised national ceremonies, they have representatives of the very religion that brought this terror upon this nation, and they hold them up as examples of righteousness. These terrors have come upon us, and yet we strengthen the hands of the evildoers. We're constantly strengthening the hands of Islam, which has wrought this terror upon our nation. And not only are the churches supporting it, but the leaders of the people, the elected leaders of the people, are supporting it. If this nation was truly, had truly not turned from God, there would be no place for the leaders of Islam to be standing in the pews and saying, well, it's not the religion's fault. It is the religion's fault. This nation has turned from God to another religion. And you see them, when you look at this, how they've strengthened the hand of a false god. If I had been salty, would I have stand up and oppose that? If I was salty, and it hasn't happened here, I'm not saying that, those leaders would not have been permitted in my presence. You know, this country, which is called by his name, we have to turn back and be salty, because that's the only way this corruption is going to turn back and revival is going to break out. Time and time and time again, this country has shown itself to support the hand of the evildoers. You know, I was reading something this morning, and you know, the big boogeyman nowadays is ISIS, okay, otherwise known as Daesh. ISIS, they like the term ISIS. They hate the term Daesh, okay, because ISIS promotes an Islamic State, which they want. But it was interesting that they had a journalist who went to ISIS and hung out with them for a few weeks. And ISIS said that the only nation they fear is Israel. They don't fear Britain, and they don't fear the United States. You know, the Lord talks about the fear of the nation shall fall upon your enemies. Our greatest enemies do not fear this country. And they do not fear this country because God's fear is not upon them, because our fear is not with God, of God. That revival and that spark that needs to be set needs to start in our hearts. Needs to start in my heart. Because only with that spark am I able to get on fire and to bring forth the gospel, the loving gospel of Jesus Christ, so that the doctrine of hate and evil is quenched with the love of God.
Well, good morning to you those here, and good afternoon to those that aren't. Good point made, Charlie. Ministers in this country have failed to realize who they work for. The one thing the Lord showed me many years ago, 1972, August the 8th, is who I work for. I don't work for you. I don't work for the government. I don't work for the dollar. I work for God Almighty, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Israel, and his son, Jesus Christ. That is who I work for. That is who I seek to please. Many people through the years have accused me of many things. Some even saying that it's all about me. And I don't really care. Because the judgment of the world is not my problem. My concern is the judgment of God. And to remind myself daily that I work with for Him. And if the ministers in these churches across this nation were to understand that little fact, they don't work for their congregation, they don't work for the board of directors, or for the deacons or dickens, whichever one you want to call them. They work for God Almighty, and they're accountable to Him. And when they get that right, their messages are going to change. Their message is going to be strong. And you will see many people leave the churches. But those that stay will be the true Christians. I have never gone for numbers. I've had many people over the years try to get me to. As you notice, behind the pulpit, there's no report card. If you notice listening to our services, I don't take up offerings. You don't see us take up offerings. We follow the word. Those that are true faithful believers, they tithe. And they tithe the way they're supposed to. They give offerings. But is it God's leading them, not us holding out a hand? Amen? Amen. These preachers, they got their little bulletin board up there. How many people came last Sunday? How many came to the Lord? How much money was received? They got to keep those numbers up. Or their board of deacons or elders or whatever they want to call themselves will fire them. You know, I never could understand that. I was in a church one time and I asked the pastor, I said, what are you afraid of? Well, the deacons, they I got to do what they want. Well, who is the head of the church? If the deacons know so much, why aren't they in the pulpit? It's the tail of the dog wagging the dog and not the head wagging the tail. The preachers in the pulpit are afraid. They're afraid to stand up and speak against Islam. They're afraid to stand up and speak about the government and its poorness and the way it's handling things. They're afraid to tell people, you're a sinner. And you need to repent. Oh, I'm not talking about just being a sinner because you drink or because you do drugs. But if you sit out there and you worry about what's going to go on tomorrow and how you're going to pay bills or how you're going to serve God or whatever, you are a sinner. But worry is fear. And fear comes from unbelief. And it comes from the devil. And it has nothing to do with God. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Bob made mention a few times in his sermon about not only wanting to go to heaven, but be able to stay there. And I'm wondering how many people scratch their heads over that. Well, what do you mean be able to stay there? Well, we all know that when we go to heaven, we're perfect. We'll be there with God forever and ever and ever. You'll be there as long as you obey him. I was a young man living on Linden Drive in Zay Park. And there was a church a couple miles from my house I went to. And I never will forget it. It was Temple Baptist Church. I was probably 9. Temple Baptist Church. And Jewel Smith was the preacher. I remember it distinctly. And he preached on Hebrews. I think it was 6 or 4. One of those. You know, once having come to the knowledge of the truth, tasted of the word of God and the heavenly gift, if you sin, there's no more forgiveness. Can't re-crucify Christ. He preached on that and said, now if you've accepted Christ, if you sin, there's no more forgiveness. I wasn't out of church an hour. And I figured I'd blown it. Because I sinned. I didn't stop to think about the rest of the scriptures about forgiveness and grace and all this and what its purpose was. Years later, the Lord showed me that verse again, and made me to understand. See, your body will never stop sinning. That's why it dies. The wages of sin are death. Your body will die. It'll go into corruption. Ain't a thing you can do about it. Because it is sin. And Jesus didn't die for your body. The plan is to give you a new one. He died for your soul. And once you go to heaven and you see and hear and touch that word, that holy word, Jesus, and you experience the power of his might and Holy Ghost in his presence. If you then sin, you're not going to take Jesus off that throne and crucify him. It ain't going to happen, baby. It's going to be, go to hell. Do not pass go and do not collect $200. Straight to hell, that's where you're going to go. We have this life to learn to get it right. We have this life to get it right. Because I want you to understand, I want you to know clearly, whatever state your mind is in when you die is the state you will be in heaven. If you are rebellious now, you will be rebellious then. And you rebel now, there's grace to cover it. If you ask forgiveness. But don't think for a minute there's grace in heaven. There is no grace in heaven. Did God give grace to Lucifer when he sinned? Did God give grace to the angels that were cast out because of following him? Did God give grace to those angels that came down and took the daughters of men? No, they're held in chains for the judgment. If you are rebellious when you die, you will be rebellious there. And what are your chances then? Bob talked about the fear of the Lord. Well, maybe this will help you fear the Lord. I know this isn't preached in the churches because the pastors, they won't preach the truth. I don't want people following me. I want people following Jesus so I can afford to preach the truth. And if you don't like it, you can lump it. You can go somewhere where they'll tell you what you want to hear. I'm going to tell you what you need to hear. What I'm going to tell you is, we got a long ways to go. I've been beating this dog for over 40 years. I ain't been able to kill him yet. But I'm getting closer. And I'm looking for the day when he barks his last bark. He's about as stubborn as Tuxie is. That Tuxie stopping him from barking, I'm going to tell you, we put an anti-bark collar on it. He barks, yelps, barks, 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 yelps. That won't even stop him. I wondered at first, man, why was I crazy enough to allow Steve to leave that dog with me? I must have been an idiot. And I've all this time, 3 months I've complained, haven't I, Robin? 3 months I've complained. And just was it last night? The Lord said, what are you complaining about? He's just like you. That's when I realized the Lord left that dog here to teach me a lesson. Stubbornness is only good when it's in the Lord, when it's in the truth. If you're going to be stubborn somewhere else, you've got to get rid of it. Amen? So, Tuxie, you've done your job. Praise the Lord. One more step. I want you to be prepared to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And there is only one way, is to submit yourself to the Lord, obey the Lord, love the Lord, love one another, and to do it all by faith. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. Amen.
May our hope be filled with dancing. May our streets be filled with joy. May justice bow to Jesus as the people turn and pray. feeble will surely be crushed. Heaven the Lord will stand in victory, taking war in the heavenlies, tearing down principalities, standing firm in Jesus' victory, making war in the heavenlies, casting down every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Our hearts are set apart for the work of the Lord, and we will not be but our souls.
It is forever, he set us free.
Praise the Lord. We thank you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We know that you are with us as we leave this place and go out into the world. And we ask that you give us the strength, Lord, that we can be that salt, that we can put your word out to all those we come across. And we thank you, Lord, for just giving us the opportunity to serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.